episode 487 of This Is Whole Life, and it's a Saturday morning edition. Not that that matters to you, but it matters to me because we have two very special guests that are first-timers to the podcast. And if you were paying attention last week, you may not know names, but you kind of have an idea of who it might be because we let the cat out of the bag. Unlike Melanie, who next week we still, at the end of this episode, will still not have any details other than the actual message because she doesn't give details. She makes us wait.
I'll make something up.
You're going to make something up?
I'll make something up.
And this week we talked about waiting, and that's coming up very, very shortly. But so just so we know who's here, obviously you've already heard from Melanie.
Hi.
Our worship pastor. And I'm going to let each of you introduce yourselves and then just give us a short synopsis of who you are, you're students, you're teenagers, but tell us a little bit about you so those listening get a little idea.
Okay, I'll go first. My name is Sahira Miraj. I'm a sophomore. I attend a public school, and I've been a Seventh-day Adventist my whole life. And I got baptized actually last year in April, and I just felt the Holy Spirit calling me to do this sermon, and I'm really glad that I was able to be chosen.
Chosen?
Yeah, I like absolutely.
That. All right, next.
Hello, my name is Andres. I also go to public school. I did this because although I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, the last few years, it's like now I realize I'm living for God.
Yes.
That this is all glory to Him. So.
Wow. That's exactly what I was hoping for. So as we go through this, we're going to go through both your messages and I'm going to give you a chance to, you know, give some rebuttal, give some ideas. Where did the inspiration come from? But first off, thank you. Because if you've ever gotten asked to preach before, it's like, okay, going to gear myself up. And you do it and you're like, I'm done. And now today you're like, all right, I've preached already once. I'm here doing the podcast in between and I've got one more to go.
Round two coming up.
Yes.
So thank you. We know that's a big ask, but first service was great. You guys just were amazing. What I want to do is, as we kind of go through this, is we don't often get your perspective, your generation's perspective on the podcast because Lucas.
Yeah, school.
I don't even know. Lucas, you're not 30 yet, are you? What? How old are you?
29.
Okay, 29.
So we have 29 is the youngest person weekly on the podcast. I'm the oldest at 54, and Melanie is perpetually.
I'm also 29.
I was going to say, Melanie's perpetually 29.
Somehow my children are older than I am, but, you know.
And Ken's not here to defend himself, and I don't remember. He's a couple years younger than me.
Yeah, he's a year younger than I am, almost exactly.
Okay, so he's 28. So that is perfect. So we do have some younger voices, but we don't have your perspective. And so a lot of what I want to talk about and ask you about is because I think people genuinely are curious. If you don't have kids your age, then they might be wondering, you know, what does a whole life teenager? What do they think? What's their life like? What's their perspective? And we'll start with the waiting that we already talked about. So Hiram, your message, you talked about Jacob, which is like Jacob and Rachel and Leah is just a messed up story.
Yes.
And I didn't know how old you were, but that was a very clever way of kind of setting the idea of how long 14 years is.
Exactly.
You work 7 for Rachel, but you get Leah. And then you work another 7?
Right.
Like, I don't think that happens in today's world. They'd be like, fool me once. Like,
first of all, if you're working for a wife in today's world. Something's not right.
Maybe not a wife, but maybe a promotion. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But like 7 years. And then you're like, well, that's almost as long as I've been alive.
Exactly.
I'm 15.
I'm 15 years old. That seems like a long time. 14 years?
Right?
Puts it in perspective, yeah. Right?
Apparently true love is all I'm going to say, right? Apparently true love to do that. But in the waiting, and you know, like you said, you're 15. How do you approach the waiting that you've seen in your life when it's like kind of that same thing where, God, I'm pretty sure we saw, what was it, Gio? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing in the skit, like, I know where I'm going. Rocky Road. This sounds fun. Let's do it. And, you know, something like that in your life where the wait has seemed long. How do you approach that? And how do you stay connected with God while you're in that moment?
While I'm waiting, let's say, and I mentioned in my sermon, I mentioned the waiting for baptism, the mm-hmm. waiting for the track team getting bumped up. I think that I approached it at first, I was like disappointed in certain aspects. I was like, God, why is this not happening? I really wanted this to happen. How long do I have to wait? But I have to remember that it's God's plan. It's God's timing. It's not my timing. So I have to keep praying about the situation. I can't let it burden me down. So that's the way I approach it. I pray about it. I pray about it first. And then God shows me signs.
So in order to see the signs, that would seem to connotate that you would have to be checking in with God on a pretty regular basis about it, right?
Yes, that does mean like like just praying about it. And if I see something, like if I see something the next day that is in the situation and I'm just like, wow, that was God. That happens to me a lot. And I feel like that will happen to a lot of people if we just, our faith, if we keep that faith and we can keep pushing knowing that it's God's plan for us.
I love it when you see something that God has, something you've been praying about, something that, you know, he knows whether you articulate it expertly or maybe in the way that as well as you think you do, but then you see those come to fruition. That's pretty exciting. So do you have a special routine or something you do daily or that just like you and God time?
Yes, I do. I have my devotion like every morning, every night. And I feel like that helps me go through my day because what was it? It was 2 days ago. I was listening to a sermon in the morning and it kind of helped me through my day listening to this speaker, something that I'm going through. And it just helps and it changes my perspective. And also praying, you know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And whenever I don't pray, I feel disconnected. Mm. And when I pray, it brings peace. And people may think that, why is God doing this? Why is this happening? When is the time going to come? And you just have to trust, like, God will bring that peace for us. He's the only person that can fill that void in our heart.
Nice. So, Andres, you were talking about living for God, and this kind of goes into the same question about, you know, you mentioned that Christianity is a bond, it's a relationship, and it's in prayer, it's private, it's one-on-one, intimate time. So when you were talking about that, what does that look like for you in that part? Because I think sometimes people will be like, okay, I prayed. Nothing seems different. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. And maybe if what Sahira just talked about, I didn't see something during my day and I've gotten to the evening or I've gotten a couple of weeks like, wow, this really isn't doing. What does that look like for you, that process?
So like spending time with him, having your own.
That intimate time you talked about.
So, I mean, in the verse I brought up, I think it's, where's the one that talks about Jesus? Yeah. So Luke chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Mm-hmm. That connects to the part where I talk about it being like a relationship. I mean, even in Revelation, he acknowledges us as the bride. So it really is. It's a bond that's built with you and God. So often withdrew to lonely places. Even in my life, that means like closing the door. You know, going in my room, kneeling down, praying to God and reading the word, you know, indulging in what he's offering me. That's what it is spending time with him and reading the word and praying to him one-on-one.
So what are you reading right now?
Ooh.
I am trying to get into Leviticus and Matthew. I've been reading some of that.
All right.
That's aspirational, yeah. My friend.
Because a lot of that, especially like Leviticus, people are like sometimes like afraid to read that book. But it's a book, you know, God, Jesus didn't abolish the law. He said he was going to fulfill it. So I feel like people sometimes just discard Leviticus completely. But every book in the Bible has something to offer. But yeah, and then I also do go to Psalms once in a while, you know, mm-hmm. of course. But yeah, mainly just reading through Leviticus and the law that was established at that time. And how it's, you know, it's still perpetual law.
Yeah, he's in the deep end.
I was going to say, that's one that's like, I usually, though, will avoid Psalms as much as I do Leviticus. I don't know, it's repetition sometimes gets me.
It is.
Although my favorite chapter of the whole Bible is in Psalms, but the rest I'm not.
Which one?
Anytime I'm feeling like, I don't know, things aren't really going my way or maybe I'm feeling a little down, a little blue, a little like I haven't heard God for a while. Psalms 40, and I appreciate the message is translation, because the message isn't technically a translation, right? It's a,
that's a paraphrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. So I really enjoy that one, but overall, I probably, unless I'm in a reading plan that's like, hey, we're taking you to Psalms today, and it's like, oh, okay, that's probably should.
So where do you go if you're going and the reading plan hasn't confined you to the Psalms?
That's it. I would probably just power through and just start at the beginning and go to the end.
Yeah.
Because that's sure, usually, I'm usually just like, well, if there was any order in this, I mean, I don't know if the order that it's in is like chronological or if it's, I don't know that much about the Book of Psalms. So I don't know how it was compiled.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So like, I don't know if it matters.
No.
But I usually assume that if I start at the beginning and go to the end, it at least kind of puts it in place if you were thinking about it. Where did I read that? That
was a while ago. By the time you get to Psalm 150.
Right, exactly. It's like, that was a month and a half ago that I was reading that. Ah, it must be in chapters 1 through 20 then. I can at least go back and start at that place. So that's usually how I would attack it. Probably.
But I mean, if you're not reading in Psalms, where would you go?
Oh, if I'm not reading in Psalms, where would I go? Uh-huh. Oh, Romans. Wow. Is one of my favorites.
We got a bunch of deep end people.
I love Paul. I think, you know, I just do. I think he's just, I love the fact that he isn't afraid to just say what's on his mind, and whether it's stuff you always completely understand or not, there's a lot of ambiguity in what Paul has to say for me, but a lot of it is also to me like super straightforward. So it's like, oh, that's something I can sink my teeth into today where I don't want to think about trying to figure out what the message is. I just need something solid that I can just sink my teeth into. Mm-hmm. So I do that. And I spend a lot of time, honestly, I don't know how many times I've read through the Gospels, but
yeah, those are classics.
It's hard to not get back to there at some point.
What about you, Sahira? Where are you reading right now? Or are you hopping around?
I like Daniel. I really like how he steps away from the crowd and he just like, he's very strong in his faith. Actually, I taught a Sabbath school. It was recently, maybe a month ago, because it was when school was starting. It was talking about faith overfitting in, and I had mentioned Daniel. Mm. And I was just like, wow, this is, I feel like a lot of teenagers are dealing with peer pressure and different things. And that's why I feel like Daniel right now is really good to read about.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. Well, okay. So Melanie, where are you reading right now?
So I'm doing the Bible reading plan. So I'm following along with whatever the day happens to be, but I'm a little bit ahead, so I'm probably not synced up with everyone else, but
you're such a good student.
Sometimes, you know, when I'm riding in the car, it's like, oh, I'm done with today already. Well, let's do the next day. Well, let's do the next day. So, yeah.
Audio Bible in the car.
In the car.
Okay. Yeah. From the, like the Bible app or different?
Yeah, the Bible app. Okay. And right now I decided this time through, I'm reading a New Living Translation just for fun.
I love the NLT.
So, and I like the voice of the guy who reads it too. He's,
that's helpful.
He's fun to listen to. So
that's it. Yep. Maybe I can have Andreas read me a couple chapters of the Bible and see
there
how that
goes.
There you go. And I can get ahead in class.
Yeah. I can agree with you on like Psalms, because it's like something, you know, just go back to. I also say Proverbs too. Like two of my favorite verses are from Psalms and Proverbs, like Psalm 116, 1-2. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear towards me. I will call on him for as long as I live, you know. And I like Proverbs more because I think it's Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. And that one's, as water reflects a face, one's life reflects the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Sounds
there
good.
You go. Too. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Proverbs is always good. Another one of those where it's like, okay, I just need some,
motivation.
I need some motivation, some wise wisdom. And it probably applies to some part of what I'm going through
exactly.
for the day. And I like that. So, Sahira, you were talking about Naaman, where on the outside it looks like, oh man, Naaman's got it all. Naaman's got everything you could possibly want. He's an important person. He commands people. He's rich. This is great. And what made me kind of stop and think was, in today's world where we are bombarded by media 24/7, it's really easy to look at someone and go, yeah, I'd really like what they have. Or, man, don't they have it great? Mm-hmm. And when reality is, wow, this guy has leprosy.
Right.
And maybe life isn't so good as we'd like to think it was. And you said God's solutions, and I might be paraphrasing here, don't feel sometimes like solutions. Like they don't, they seem like they're undesirable. Mm-hmm. So when the prophet tells him to go bathe in the Jordan River, and it's like, oh.
That dirty water.
It'd be like right. telling someone to go to New York City and be like, go bathe in the East River.
Right.
Let's go do that. Because yeah. that will surely cure whatever is, and maybe the radioactivity would help. I don't know, but you came up with Naaman's pride and the dips. The dips were genius, but also I'm like, I don't like any of them. nearly any of them. Like dip one, surrender. That doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah.
Trust. Oh, I've got trust issues.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Patience. Who's got patience? Who's got time for patience? Perseverance. Dip five, humility. Ooh, that sounds like I'm going to have to eat some crow somewhere and you know, think less of myself. Dip six. I like dip six. That's hope. Mm-hmm. Right. So, okay, we'll go with hope. And dip seven is like completion. Okay. But I'm thinking to get to those parts.
Yeah, you have to do one through six before you can get to seven.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I want to start like at six. I want hope and then I want completion. Because that I feel like would really just shave off a lot of unnecessary time, trouble.
That's not how God works though.
Man, that's not how God works.
No, it's not. That's the whole point of the lesson. Like,
but why? Why do I have to start at surrender?
Because we can't just expect that the circumstance will just happen like immediately. Like you're going to get a positive impact. You have to go through it. You can't just one day just say that you're going to change. Change doesn't happen overnight. It takes time because who knows if you're going to go back to those things that you're doing that you know is wrong. So that's why I feel like God made Naaman wait by dipping not once, but seven times. I feel like that's why.
So, Sahira, what would you say to somebody who is like on dip 21? Who just keeps dipping and dipping and they never, it feels like completion's never going to happen.
I just feel like they have to trust in God and like removing anything negative from their life. They just have to keep trusting that because we all have a purpose and we should know that. That should be our number one thing. Like we have a purpose. God put us on this earth. He knew us before we were in the womb. So I feel like we need to keep pushing no matter how hard it gets. You just have to keep, it will hurt. It will hurt. That's just
get a little waterlogged after a while.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to get tired of it, but you have to realize, you have to pray, you have to ask God for that strength because He is the only one. You cannot run to the world. You have to run to God. You have to fully surrender. And one of the dips was surrender. So we have to just take it day by day. It's not going to happen overnight. Change is not going to happen overnight. You're not going to get that friendship back overnight. You're not going to get that relationship back overnight. If it's God's will, it will happen for you.
Your answer just covered those five horribles. like two or three times, and I'm like, ah, she's onto something. She's got this. And yeah, it doesn't always sound trendy. It doesn't sound like, oh yeah, let me sign up for that. But in the end, the hope has to be there. I feel like hope could be number one as well.
Yes.
Because if I don't have hope, I'm not going to surrender. I am not going to trust. I'm certainly not going to have patience.
So, well, that's what gets you in the river sometimes, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's, yeah, I like that.
So Andres, you had a comment.
No, yeah, on the first part you're talking about, like skipping to step six. like Sarah was saying, it is a process, you know, like you've probably heard the saying, it's like, you know, if you ask for patience, if you pray to God, He'll put you in a place where you need patience, you know? So he'll build those skills through you. It's not like, okay, here's the confidence you need to be a leader and here's that, you know, He's going to build you. He's going to sculpt you. He's going to mold you into the person that He wants you to be.
So if I pray for patience, I can expect terrible traffic on my way into work. Is that?
I was like, what happened to the vending machine where I'm like, ooh, patience, $1.50. I'll take two of those, please. Yeah, it's exactly. Not that, isn't it?
No.
Man, you guys are killing me this morning. I'm telling you. But it's good. You're right. I think the thing that, how do you see people, maybe your peers here at Whole Life, peers at school, support each other? When you're in, like Melanie said, you're in step 21 and you're feeling a lot waterlogged and you're like, okay, fine. I mean, I still have hope. I've been persevering. I'm doing my job. Mm-hmm. I don't think too much of myself. I'm like, okay, I told you, mold me, do me, with me, whatever you're supposed, whatever you want, God. The trust, though, the trust is starting to wane a little bit thin because the perseverance is only just like a tick higher than the trust right now. How do you see people in your generation, in your peers, like supporting each other? Because I think it's something that my generation hasn't done very well in the past. And I'm just curious how you guys might see that right now.
Like how people support each other.
Let's say you're at, I don't know, you're at youth group or an event, or you're at school and, you know, you see somebody that's down and you know that they're a believer or not. Like, mm-hmm. how do people now your age, how are they supporting each other and on the journey?
Are you talking like journey, like spiritually?
Yeah. You're deep in the struggle and you can see it. Is it something you're comfortable, or do you see others being comfortable? Like, you guys are both at public school where there may not, you know, not everyone obviously is going to be a Christian. And not that you're, if you're at a Christian school and everyone may not be Christian either. That's that's not a foregone conclusion. But are people willing to talk about their faith? Are people willing to say, man, can I pray with you? How do you see people supporting?
There's so much variety, especially like in religion and even like, you know, denomination as well. Overall, I think people are just, in my generation, just afraid to talk about it. I think people, they approach it too simply. And there's so many lukewarms, especially I see in school. I would even, like, so many people that I know, it'll be like, oh, I go to church. Is that like, can I go to heaven? It's sad, you know, to see people in that. And like, I want to be, that's why God, you know, sends us to be the salt of the earth, the influence that he wants it to be in the space that we're in. So even I have friends that are Muslim and atheists as well. And I'll explain to them why I believe what I believe in. I'm not afraid to talk about my faith like at all. If they say something about their faith, I'll be like, you know, I'm going to talk about my faith. And I believe in where you choose what you want to believe in. But there's people where they talk about respecting other religions. And like, it's true. But if I see someone like on a path astray, I'm not just going to let them. Oh, I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm not going to leave them on that path. You know, I want to bring them to the truth, which is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and show them, you know.
Yes. And I feel like sin is very normalized in this generation, and it's very hard to surround yourself with good influences. So that's why God calls us to plant those seeds. And me personally, if I see someone having a bad day, I'll try and cheer them up. I'll invite people to church. And there is, like Andres said, there's a mix of people. There's some people who think that it doesn't matter what we do right now. We're young. We can always repent in the future. But that's not the truth. Everything starts now from the day you're born. It builds your character. Who you are right now is going to shape who you are in the future. So I just feel like there's different groups, and some people do bring others to church, which is really great. And they'll pray over them. They'll be like, hey, like, whatever you're going through, I can pray for you. And some people may not accept it because they may think, oh, I'm too lost. I'm a lost cause. No, the truth is you're never a lost cause. God, you're never too much for God. God, like, his love is unconditional.
Mm. Never too much for God. That's it. I think even if you're not in a place where this is a message I'm really looking for, or a solution, as it were, to my problems and what I'm going through. But if someone were to say, you're never too much for God, that's at least a head scratcher for me. Thinking back to when I was younger, going like, I never heard that or considered it. So I think that's I really like that. Never too much for God. Yeah. And so clearly both of you are comfortable with speaking up, or like you mentioned, and people and praying for people and inviting them to church. So that's not you have no problem. Not just wearing, I wouldn't say, it doesn't feel like religion. It just feels like your relationship with Jesus is what you both are willing to share.
Exactly. Because I don't do the converting. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So I'm only there to, I'm only there to plant the seed. I can't bring them to Christ. I can inform them. Amen. But at the end of the day, they have to choose whether they want to be with him or not.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a fairly loving approach. I don't know. I kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can choose. It's true. I mean, you choose. I give you the information and you choose what you want to do with it. You can choose to accept him or to not accept him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's a certain comfort in, hey, I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. I'm doing it in a loving way. I'm sharing. And not that I don't feel bad that somebody might not accept it, but also it's, you know, you've kind of put the ball out there. You've planted the seed and who knows what the Holy Spirit will do.
No, yeah. It makes me sad when I'll talk about it to people and they'll be like, oh, it won't affect me. Like, I don't care. Or when they get the false idea, like, a lot of the big misconception a lot of people talk about is like, oh, if God is so loving, why is he like sending people away from him and all these things? And then it's like, I mean, it's not really a punishment. It's separation from him. So if you choose to live your life apart from God, he will grant you that separation that you know, you put in place while you were on earth, you know? So, but it is sad when I see people astray or I see people that even claim to be Christian and then they act this very worldly lifestyle. And even if it's in like the smaller things where nowadays in the Bible, it talks about turning the other cheek and forgiving. But nowadays it's like, if someone does something to you, oh, you have to do it harder to assert your dominance. And it's like, if you don't, oh, you're weak. But in the Bible, it's the complete opposite where God says people that turn the other cheek, that forgive are strong.
Love your enemies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That didn't get any easier though, right? Like, you know,
oh, it's not easy.
Oh, no, it's not. It's okay, not. Good. That's God like testing us.
I was like, because you said it. And like, there was a certain confidence in your voice. And I was like, well, I hope that, well, I mean, well, maybe I hope it got easier because it sure didn't seem that way. It still doesn't seem that way to me. So I'm like, maybe you guys figured out the secret sauce to making sure that it doesn't. No, they didn't figure it. Okay, cool.
Oh, come on, Randy, you forgive me all the time.
There's still an issue. No. You know what I'm going to say, though, right? What? Barn party's coming up.
Yes. Yes. There will be lots of love, grace, acceptance, forgiveness, all of that happening around barn party.
There's going to be all of it. Oh, that's funny. So something that we like, Lucas and I say all the time is we like to make sure that certain situations, certain items, all the boxes get checked. And you mentioned that God checks all the boxes. What boxes does God check for you that's like, man, these are the boxes that I need checked and God checks them for me?
I mean, it goes back to what you want or what you get from a relationship, you know? So if it's like a friendship, it's like I have someone to talk to or I have someone that's there to help me or whether it be advice. It's true. I mean, through God's word, you can find, you know, Proverbs, Psalms, all this wisdom that God is offering to you, and as well the guidance in your life, praying to him, someone to go to. He's your rock. You know, he literally calls himself, he's the rock of our lives. We build our house on the rock, not the sand, a solid foundation. So truly he's there. He's that base where our faith comes from, you know?
So what do we do when it seems like God is silent?
I mean, there's a lot of real scenarios where you can apply that, like in the 40 years in the desert. You know, there's a lot of times where I even talked about, it's just his presence. You're not going to feel or see him, but he's going to be there. That's the thing. That's the part. That's the biggest thing is that I'll talk to people and they always want like, oh, I need proof that God exists. I need proof of this or proof of that. It's like, you're not going to have a proof of a lot of things. A lot of the time it is faith.
And not just about God. There's a lot of things we don't have proof of.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So what is the most important thing that you want someone they listen to your message and you like, if someone were to take away this and maybe they could apply it to their life or maybe just see something in a different way that they hadn't considered before, what's the most important thing you want someone to take away from your message, Syrah?
I think I want them to take away, obviously, like trusting God no matter the circumstance, but I want them to realize that things that I talk about, I have different stories about Jacob and Rachel, the seven dips with Naaman. I want people to walk away and be like, hey, God made these people go through things in the Bible. And like, why should I stop and give up? I should keep going. And I just really want people to walk away and pray about their situation, knowing that God has got their back all the time. Like I said, like, we're never too small for God. We're never too lost. We're never too in the world for God. That God calls us as his children of God to go to him and run to the Father. So I just really want people to walk away with that.
Mm. You left with a challenge, Andreas, saying, you know, what can I do to truly live for God? Mm-hmm. What's one thing, you know, from your message or just something from your personal experience that you can say that you do, that you only do because you're living for God?
I would just say it's living him in every aspect, you know, in terms of whether I'm by myself and I'm reading or when I'm in public and I'm talking about him. The message was really for people like that kind of needed like a wake up call, or people, let's say there's someone who doesn't know much. It's like, this is it. You know, this is what living for God is like, is that even in, you know, in private and in public, you're there, you know, he's there for you and you're there for him. So it, especially, like I was talking about, so many lukewarms, is that, also goes back to the verse I brought up, you know, all glory to God.
What do you mean by lukewarms?
The people that, which goes against, not goes against my message, but it's like not truly living for God, is the people that I'll see, they say, oh, I go to church, and then I see them at school and they're cursing and they're doing these things that are, I don't see Jesus doing any of those things, you know, the things you're doing. And it's really, it's a wake up call. Because Christianity is such a, it is a loving religion. That's what it is, you know? It's a loving relationship that God wants to build with you. But people will sometimes take that and try to twist it and justify their actions. But this is what God wants. He wants us to truly live for him.
Nice. So, Melanie, you got a chance to work with both of these young people.
Yes.
Or younger people than me, I can say. What did you see over the course of working with them and like pulling their messages together? What did you see in that process?
Well, so this is one of the most fun parts of my job, that I get to be there through the whole process. And I've just been really impressed with both of these, you know, youth, young adults. Just the depth of insight, the depth of thought, and the willingness to wrestle. Because, you know, we sat in my office and I kept poking holes, you know, poking holes in what they were saying. And I tried to tell them, you know, I'm not poking holes just to be a pain. I'm poking holes so that you can fill the holes when you stand up to speak. And one thing that I really appreciate about that is that they received it, and then they went and they thought and they meditated and prayed on it and came back with, you know, what they felt like was the thing to fill those holes that we talked about. So yeah, I'm really grateful that I get to be part of the process, and I feel really honored.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're excited every time, you know, as a staff, we hear about what's upcoming and we think about, what does that mean? Oh, that means we can hopefully, you know, get them on the podcast. For me, that means, you know, when we find out someone's getting baptized, I know I'm going to be the one that gets to ask them questions and find out about their journey and help introduce them to the Whole Life family. And when it comes down to people speaking up front, it's something that we really take very seriously here about mm-hmm. who gets to speak from the front here, yeah. Because that's we have a certain way that we do it. We want all of our messages to, you know, be safe and be appropriate.
Be aligned with our values.
And yes. Be biblical mm-hmm. and all those things. And so for me, that's one of the coolest things is, A, I get to meet some new people on the podcast. And two, we get to hear from someone else. It's like the Voices of Whole Life series is one of my favorite, because we always end up meeting new people and getting to bring them in and talk to them on the podcast and getting their perspective from up front. So I was looking forward to it today, and you guys didn't disappoint. It was fantastic. So
great
thank
job.
You
so
for
much.
What you did.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess that means next week. Dun, 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 dun.
Next week.
Yes.
Come back, because it is our very own Melanie Bachman starting a, what, three?
Three-part series.
Three-part series, yep. And it's on Jesus and Justice?
Jesus and Justice. And next week, we are going to take a theopoetic approach, because sometimes it's difficult to talk about God, but metaphor gives us the opportunity to talk about to take it deeper, I guess, because there's a surplus of meaning in metaphor. So we're going to play with an expanded metaphor and weave in some narrative and see what happens.
Possibilities.
Possibilities.
I like possibilities. That's awesome. Hey, a quick shout out and thank you. Huge thank you to Scott Causey this morning,
who yes.
Has continued to support and sponsor the podcast with really good coffee. He brought us some Foxtail Guji Ethiopia.
It was delicious. And it is, we may or may not have sampled it already.
I had not even thought about this morning because I was here early to fix something else and had not thought about the podcast, even though I knew about the podcast. And I was like, oh, good, we'll have coffee for Wednesday. And I'm like, no, we have coffee for this morning.
Now.
So thank you to that. And guys, thanks for listening. I've been seeing an uptick in the numbers. And so I know that everyone's kind of back, you know, summer vacation's over, we're back to school, we're back to routines. But also, I think the numbers show a big jump in, you know, we always encourage you to share with family, friends. It's an easy way to invite someone to listen and be in a safe environment talking about Jesus and his love. And so something I hope that you continue to do, because we do see the numbers and we're thankful for you guys all, not just listening, but sharing and being willing to do that. So that's going to do it for this week. We look forward to hanging out with Melanie next week and giving her all the hard questions. Get them, get ready to type while you listen next week, because I would love to spend at least half the show talking about questions that you have.
Me too. Yeah. Let's do this.
There you go. All right, guys. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Yes.